Shulgi was active in restructuring the administration of his kingdom. In the heartland of the Ur III kingdom, he created about 20 provinces, each governed by an ensi, who usually belonged to the local elite. And this is a pattern that we'll see later rulers draw on. They would alternate between promoting someone who was familiar with the area, who had been important in the city in previous years, requiring them to be loyal to the state. But often the drawback to this is that the local ruler will then decide that he should rebel from his overlord. And so this will happen at the end of the Ur III period. But we'll see Mesopotamian kings alternate between drawing on the local elite to help them govern or installing members of their family or someone whom they think is more loyal to them. Shulgi combined these two ideas by sending a military commander, or a shogina, to report directly to the palace. And this would be someone whom Shulgi felt very comfortable with and knew that they would be loyal to them. Often, a shogina was related to the royal family. With 9 wives, that was not difficult. And presumably, this would make him more loyal to the king than a local ensi would be. So Shulgi tries to use both models, but we'll see it doesn't quite work. Shulgi also established a new way of taxing his kingdom, and he used 2 different systems. Both drew on the concept of a bala tax. A bala is the Sumerian word for exchange. And this was a method of tribute that exchanged goods that were produced locally for what the palace wanted. Those cities closest to Ur would provide goods that they had produced locally. And this would allow Shulgi to compel a higher tribute because he knew the productivity of the area was very high. So, for example, a city that was very focused on growing grain, an agricultural-based economy, would have to provide grain to the court, whereas another city that had a wider manufacturing area would, a wider manufacturing economy, such as leather making or furniture making or reed weaving, they would send those types of goods to the king as part of their tribute. Farther away from southern Mesopotamia, provinces would send sheep or goats or other types of animals as tribute to the king. These were sent to a site called Puzrish Dagan, which was near Nippur, and then they would be redistributed to feed the palace. They would be used as sacrifices in the temples, and they may even be sent to other provinces that required cattle or sheep or some other type of meat product or wool in the case of sheep. And the palace would oversee this entire redistribution. So we get back to an idea that we saw early on with the temple as a redistributive center that would collect excess goods and then send them where they were necessary. Now, the court does this, the king oversees this, and some of these records have survived. So we know what goods were collected, how many were collected, and we get a sense of an enormous scale that the Ur III kings controlled. One annual report records that 350,000 sheep and 28,000 cattle passed through Puzrish Dagan during that single year. So that gives you some sense of the amount of tribute that was being sent to collection centers and then could be redistributed throughout the kingdom. This state bureaucracy required a detailed system of accounting, and during this time, scribal schools adopted a new curriculum that allowed them to learn the new accounting system. Remember, I said Shulgi instituted a new system of weights and measurements, so they had to learn how to use this method. And it also was a period when there was a shift in the way that cuneiform texts were actually written on the tablets. So the shift was from sort of vertical way of dividing the tablets to a horizontal way.